Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Dr. Glenn Tonzer, talking beef demand in just a moment.
Drew Edmondson should come with warning labels. Something like, caution, Drew Edmondson's been in politics for more than 40 years. He's the definition of a career politician. And warning, Edmondson was a huge supporter of liberal Hillary Clinton and was ranked as one of the worst attorney generals in the country, earning an F for political bullying and hypocrisy. Caution, Drew Edmondson supported making it easier for Oklahoma's legislature to raise taxes, opposed lowering the income tax, and has said that if he's elected governor, he'd consider new job-killing taxes on Oklahomans. Here's another one. Danger. As Attorney General, Drew Edmondson steered $30 million to one law firm. That's $1,500 per hour. Then turned around and took a job with that very same law firm. That's unethical. Heads up. Drew Edmondson's a liberal, unethical, Hillary-loving career politician. We've been warned. If we're going to take Oklahoma in a better direction, it sure won't be with Drew Edmondson.
Authorized and paid for by Stitt for Governor 2018.
Several indicators have been pointing to better beef demand thus far here in 2018. International markets, for example, we're seeing more pounds of beef being sold at higher value, and these are at record levels. Domestically, the numbers seem to be pretty good as well. A little bit harder to dig out necessarily, but one of the indicators, according to Dr. Glenn Tonzer, at least on the tonnage side, on the amount of beef being moved, is that cold storage report. The latest numbers, he says, are encouraging.
First, on the beef side, supplies are up 1% from the prior month and 3% from the prior year. That's not surprising given the production volumes we have going on. To me, the fact those aren't up 5 or 10% is the relevant point. So I'd say that's good. That's consistent with ongoing movement of product. On the pork side, compared to the prior month, supplies were up 1% and actually down 5% from the same month a year ago. A little subpoint there I wrote down was hams are up 5% from the prior month. That could be worse given our recent trade uncertainties with Mexico and so forth. The Mexican market is huge, in particular for the ham market. Prior to that report, I would have anticipated maybe a few more hams sitting and waiting and backlogged and so forth, given the number of hogs we've had going through the system. And I'm just using that as an example of even though you have year-over-year increases, it quote-unquote could be worse. I would summarize the beef and pork numbers as both examples that we are still moving product despite the fact we're producing a lot. So indirectly, that's a confirmation of a good demand situation.
And Dr. Tonzer believes that these numbers give us some pretty good underpinnings for wholesale beef trade as well as our finished cattle prices back to cattle producers. He says, Dr. Tonzer says there are some outside factors right now, including the uncertainty in the stock market, that could give us pause for concern.
Most of our listeners probably noticed either directly or indirectly a lot of choppiness in the stock market last week. There is a host of gray clouds on the horizon that have people concerned. Discussions about increasing interest rates and, the full impact of tariffs on our economy and those kind of things are underscoring the volatility in the stock market. And I'm highlighting that from a meat and livestock industry perspective, simply to remind everybody that meat protein is a, expensive component of our food diet, to where the demand for those meat products goes up when incomes goes up. But when we have adverse economic development, we see demand push back on meat products and beef even more so. That's the more expensive product. We see that. And this is more just a word of caution. I'm not here saying the recession's around the corner. Please don't take it that way. But some of the uncertainty we saw this week in the markets is worth noting. And maybe the best way to make that point is it's been several years now, but the 2008-2010 period, the Great Recession here in the U.S., was not a good period for meat demand. And this week should give us some caution to think about that again.
Glenn, I know that one thing that you've watched on a regular basis and historically you've looked at the overall trends on our carcass weights. And here in 2018, it seems like we've been able to keep those pretty well under control.
Yeah, whether you're a fed cattle or feeder cattle producer, I think it's good that marketing information and coupled with that is dressed weights and live weights have done pretty well. Narrowly since June, we've kept our weights in check compared to the prior year. The reason I'm highlighting here is it is one of the points of confirmation that we are moving and quote-unquote staying current. That's good. But again, in the spirit of caution going forward, everywhere I drive in this country, we're talking and or seeing piles of grain. Parts of this country, we have what I would call farmer feeders, folks that raise their own grain, and they might have more of it than in the past. And that can impact their personal incentives on what the quote-unquote optimal selling weight for them is. they might put a different value on that grain than somebody else that didn't produce it. Going forward, I will be closely monitoring those weights because there might be some individual incentives to have heavier cattle that can create some adverse national problems. I'll remind our listeners, in 2015, we actually had a quote-unquote spike in finished weights. Folks to the north of here in particular were selling heavier animals. And for those that have a business relationship that's tied to the five market fed cattle price, that's particularly worth noting because that's a blend of cattle from five major states, and the on-the-ground incentives for weights varies a lot in those five different states is the reason I'm bringing it up.
Dr. Glenn Tonser, you got the beef buzz on Ron. Oklahoma Ag Credit supports rural Oklahoma with reliable and consistent credit today and tomorrow. They provide loans for rural land, livestock, equipment, and operating costs to farmers, ranchers, and rural businesses across 60 Oklahoma counties. Oklahoma Ag Credit's Country Home Loan Program provides financing for purchasing or refinancing homes in rural communities. And we're proud to say that Oklahoma Ag Credit is a proud sponsor of our Ron Hayes Daily Farm and Ranch News email. That's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.